a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening until 10 o'clock. That's 2 hours. You know, I wasn't in last Wednesday. There was something what was on. Oh, yeah, Cardinal Baseball was on. And so I was on last Monday night. So it's been a while. Good to talk to you again. Speaking of Cardinal Baseball, Michael Langston is joining me this evening, running the boards. Michael, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Brad. It's been way too long.
It has. But as we were talking before the show started, you're like a big shot now with the Cardinals.
I am not a big shot at all. No, I am not. Steve Moore, who's our program director here at KMOX and all the great Odyssey stations here in St. Louis, he'll call me from time to time to come fill in. And since today's a federal holiday, it's Juneteenth, Cardinal front offices are closed. So I figured I'd come in, pick up a couple extra hours on the shift and whatnot. But I mean, it's good to be here and see other people in work shifts. I haven't worked sports open line in a really, really long time since Kevin Wheeler was host.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah. So my day job, I do a production for the Cardinals. We have a great creative department that's led by Tony Simakaitis. He's our creative director. Scoreboard falls under us, all of the advertising that gets created, all the content. So the City Connect launch that we did, that was 100% internal. I think we were the only ballpark or only team in Major League Baseball where it was a 100% internal shoot.
Interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
So that's part of the department that I work in. And my main job mainly is I make all the radio ads that you hear over the Cardinal Radio Network that come from the Cardinals, our corporate sponsors. And then if you ever are at a game and you're watching the scoreboard, I'm the guy who is telling the camera guys essentially, hey, can you come in this day? Can you come in that day? I schedule all our scoreboard people, and there's a couple other catch-alls with that, but it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun to be able to come here and play radio a little bit. I grew up in radio, so it's really fun.
Good. Well, thanks for your help this evening, and I wanted to, as we talked a little bit again before the show started, tomorrow is the first official day of summer. Now, the thing that I associate with summer is Cardinal baseball.
Yes.
I mean, that's seriously.
It
feels trite because everybody has the same story. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is when I was a kid, I was listening to Jack Buck on the radio, listening to KMOX in Southern Illinois, like everybody else, like millions of people. And it feels trite because my story isn't any different than anybody else's. And that's when I fell in love with KMOX. Right. But to me, the Cardinals are synonymous with summer. But from your perspective, since tomorrow is the first official day of summer, Michael Langston, what do you associate with summer? Or when you think of summer, do you have like a certain memory or a vacation or anything in particular comes to mind?
Well, Brad, I can tell you a couple things. So when I grew up listening to Cardinal baseball, the 2004-2005 teams were there, but I didn't really start getting into baseball until 2006. And I can pinpoint the exact game that I know I became a Cardinal fan for life.
Seriously?
It was June 28th. 2006, Cardinals were playing then the Cleveland Indians. Now they're the Cleveland Guardians. Mm-hmm. We'd been on a terrible, terrible losing streak going up into that game. Bottom of the ninth, Sotoguchi's on third. David Eckstein's at the plate. Two outs, tie game, and it's seat cushion night part two.
I know where this is going.
So Eckstein hits a ground ball to Johnny Peralta, who's playing short for Cleveland. Peralta doesn't set his feet right, makes a bad throw. Throw goes way up the line. Crowd goes nuts. You see all of these seat cushions just get thrown into the air. And I was watching that as an impressionable young kid. I'm getting ready to go into second grade. And I say to myself, man, this baseball thing's kind of cool.
Yeah.
it seems all right. And then, of course, you know, you get into us barely winning the division, us barely making the playoffs. And Cardinal baseball has been a mainstay of my summer. Now when I think of summer, I was telling you in between breaks, I already got the sunburn down.
You do.
I was
you
cutting
do.
Grass. When it was my teenage years, it would be, I would kind of schedule when I cut grass, and I did it today, around when the Cardinals had a day game.
Okay.
One of those business and special games. So that way I have this little headset that's a radio. I turn it to 1120 or 98.7, and I listened to the Cardinal game. It was John Rooney and Mike Shannon were the voices of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I would cut grass while listening to the game. And that was it. Now for me, it's lovely girlfriend Angela and I. We go down to our house at the Lake of the Ozarks. We turn the volume up. We have a little tiki hut on our bar, and we turn the volume all the way up on that thing, go in the water, ice cold Bud Light in the water, listen to John and Ricky call a game. There's nothing better than it.
That's great.
And the fact, too, that I've been able to work with guys like John and Ricky Horton, who are just some of the best people in the world, Mike Claiborne as well, with Mike Shannon, it just adds to that whole feeling of summer, getting sunburnt down on the dock, listening to your friends call Cardinal baseball.
Absolutely.
There's nothing better than it, Brett. Nothing better.
And yet, when you were a kid and listening to Cardinal baseball, you could not have even imagined that when you got older, you would eventually be working with these guys.
Brett, when I tell you this and I say this to everyone listening, I truly mean it. That whole idea of don't meet your heroes is terrible. I've met my heroes. My hero is David Eckstein. He is one of the best people I've ever met in my life. I got to see him last Friday. It was our annual fantasy camp here in St. Louis. And so a lot of alumni come out. The Cardinals do a great job. We have the largest alumni network in all Major League Baseball. And David's one of those guys. And he's always been my favorite player. So to be able to talk with him has been awesome. And he is my hero. And you look at all the other people that I've gotten to interact with and talk with, Chip Carey, Brad Thompson, Polo Asensio, all of our guys in the radio booth, Jim Jackson included. You listen to that as a kid, and it feels like a million miles away.
Exactly.
And then you get into it. Now you're numb to it, but still, there's a moment or two you got to still pinch yourself. But summer, to me, is Cardinals baseball sitting on the dock, Lake of the Ozarks, listen to whatever the affiliate is down there. I think it's Cat Country, which in between they'll play country music. So that's also a 10 out of 10.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Getting
thanks for sharing
sunburnt
that
with it.
Thank you. Thank you. Excellent memory. We've got lots of stuff to go through this evening. But throughout the show, if you've got a favorite summer memory, I would love to hear it. 314-436-7900. Call or text. Coming up after the break, we're going to dive into, there's a couple of legal issues that I really want to explore this evening. Number one is that federal judges have been striking down and blocking this new Title IX transgender rule that's being pushed by the Biden administration. And it basically would allow, if this rule goes into effect, which I don't think it will, but if it eventually goes into effect, it would allow not only transgendered women or men who identify as women to compete against women in college athletics, but would also allow them to get scholarships. And I'm going to break down why that is such a bad idea, both legally and practically. We'll talk about that. We're also going to discuss the idea, and you're going to be shocked at this, but dad jokes, you know, we just came off of Father's Day. Dad jokes, the federal government funds a collection of dad jokes. And I am not making a dad joke when I say that. And we're also going to talk about, lots of things, drug possession, AMA issues, all kinds of legal, cultural, and important civic issues of the day. We will break them all down at your service. Brad Young, stick around. We'll be right back after this on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening until 10 o'clock. And just what you heard a moment ago on that sounder coming in from the commercial break said that we're not into to arguing, but balanced information. If this is the first time you've heard this show, let me tell you a little bit about what this is about, because this show, At Your Service on Wednesday nights, is unique in several ways. First of all, I'm not necessarily about asserting or pushing an agenda. I'm certainly conservative. I'm certainly Christian. I diverge with conservative and Republicans in many ways. But I'm about the encounter of ideas, the marketplace of ideas. and how those ideas impact how we live, our culture, what we believe, how we pursue interests, all of those things, culturally, politically, recreationally. But I'm about this idea of the marketplace of ideas. And so if I say something and you disagree with it, I always welcome calls. I'm not going to argue with you. But I'm also going to, if you call in and disagree on a topic that I have, I love to poke questions. It's called the Socratic method. And I ask you questions in order to elicit a specific response or to get you to think about a specific point that maybe you've not considered. So that's what this show is all about. That's why I do this show. I'm an attorney during the day. I don't need an extra job. I'm not doing this because I need an extra paycheck. I'm doing this because I like to interact with the audience, and I like to discuss the important topics of the day. So just imagine, you know, we're sitting in your family room having an adult beverage, talking about ideas. That's what this show is all about. And one of the topics I want to dive into is the Biden administration, I believe it was in April, issued a directive from the Department of Education. And the directive was under Title IX to change how Title IX is interpreted when it comes to women. Because if you look at the wording of Title IX, Title IX talks about, it doesn't talk about gender identity. It talks about whether you are male or female, not whether a person identifies as male or female. And Title IX was designed to protect women. And I'm going to dive into that here in just a moment. But the Biden administration changed, or actually stated that as of August 1, it would change how they interpret the discrimination rules under Title IX. And specifically, this would give males who identify as females the right to use women's restrooms, whether it's in kindergarten or all the way through college. It would allow men who identify as women to use female locker rooms, to join female-only organizations, and it would construe harassment as including the use of pronouns that conform to one's sexual identity rather it would conform to their chosen gender identity rather than their birth sex. So there's a host of legal issues with this, and I want to dive into this. But in order to set the table here, when the Biden administration announced this in April, goes into effect August 1, instantly lawsuits were filed, as they should be. And at least 10 states right now under federal courts, 10 states have gotten injunctions from the courts to block the implementation of these Title IX changes until it gets resolved by the courts. And I expect at least another 10 states will probably do this. So you're going to have somewhere between 20 and 25 states that are going to block these changes from Title IX. Now, let's talk about the legal issue first. And I want to dive into the policy issue here as well. And I'm telling you this not just from an academic perspective, but also from the perspective of a parent. My oldest daughter had a 4-year scholarship. For some reason, against my advice, she chose Kansas University. My wife is a Mizzou grad. My two other daughters are Mizzou people. We bleed black and gold at my house. And yet my oldest daughter chose to be a rebel and wanted to go to KU. So you know what? I'm praying for her. So I'm not really sure why she did that. But I told her, listen, if you're going to pay your way through college, you can go wherever you want. If I'm paying for college, then I get to, at least some extent, choose where you go, because I'm the guy writing the checks. So she got a full 4-year scholarship to KU. And she got that under Title IX. And there was a phrase that was used at my house for 4 years. And that phrase was, God bless Title IX. Now, why is that? Because of all the money, the millions and millions and millions of dollars at KU that go towards men's basketball, under Title IX, they have to divide that money to make sure that women's athletics is getting equal funding to men's. Now, when it comes to, from a capitalistic standpoint, do women's sports raise anywhere close to the amount of revenue as men's sports at any university level? Well, certainly not at any D1 school, they don't. But the point is, in order to make sure that there's no discrimination going on, Title IX was passed in the 1970s and made sure that universities have to be balanced in terms of scholarships, programs, and so forth. So because of that, rowing doesn't generate a nickel's worth of revenue. But my daughter got a full four-year scholarship to KU because of Title IX. Now, let's look just at the policy. And then after the break, I'll talk about the legality. But from a policy perspective, the point of Title IX, and I think the genius of Title IX, really, was that it exponentially increased girls' and women's participation in sports in a way that could not have been accomplished but for Title IX. Couldn't happen. And my daughter is proof of it, as are lots of people. And could I have paid for college for her? Yes, not a problem. But Title IX has allowed countless women to go to college who otherwise may not have been able to go, to get degrees, to further their education, to get careers in a way that simply would have been impossible financially for them to achieve. So if you look at the purpose of Title IX and you say the purpose, certainly when it comes to athletics, was to encourage women's participation in sports. But now you're going to be giving scholarships to men who identify as women. Doesn't that defeat the entire purpose of Title IX? Because now you're simply giving more scholarships to men. And you say, well, but they're men who self-identify as women. Okay, look at the Riley Gaines situation with Leah Thomas. Riley Gaines objected to Leah Thomas, who is the transgendered swimmer, and I've got a story about Leah Thomas here as well. She didn't like it that, and I'm going to use his birth gender pronoun, that he would be naked in the room and he still had his full male genitalia. And he, and I'm going to be very delicate here, but let's just say that according to Riley Gaines and others, when Leah Thomas was in the locker room, he was very excited to see the other women, and I will leave it at that. But is that really the purpose of Title IX? I mean, the purpose of Title IX or women's sports is to allow them in an area to compete against each other without having to compete against males who in many instances have a biological advantage, whether it's genetic, whether it's muscle structure, whether it's height, whether it's height to weight ratio, whether it's strength to weight ratio. In any of these categories, men oftentimes have an advantage over women. So by having women's sports, you allow them to blossom and to compete in an area where it's a fair competition. It's not fair to have women compete against men in athletics. It simply is not. And can you find isolated examples where men or women are better than men? Of course. Of course. You look at Caitlin Clark, she's better a three-pointer shooter than many people in the NBA. But that's an isolated outlier example. And if you look at the competition as a whole, it's not on the same level. Does that mean that women's athletics is not exciting to watch? Of course not. In fact, women's athletics right now has a resurgence of popularity. It's more popular now than it's ever been. But if you allow men to start competing in the WNBA, are people still going to watch that? The answer is no. Why? Because it's not fair. It's not fair. Title IX was designed to ensure fairness. And now the very rule that the Biden administration has passed defeats the very purpose for what Title IX was designed to secure. And that's just from the policy perspective. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the legal problems that I have with this change. But also, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you regarding, do you think that we should be allowing men who identify as women to compete in women's sports, whether that's on the collegiate level, whether it's on the professional level? You know, does Angel Reese need to be competing against men in the WNBA? I don't think so. She's plenty good on her own, but I don't think we want to taint her achievements on the court by having men playing against Angel Reese in the WNBA. What do you think? Call or text 314-436-7900 on KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. We'll be right back. Welcome back to At Your Service. Hey, I'm getting a lot of great texts in this evening, and during the break, I've been responding to those. If you'd like to comment on the show, comment on the topics, question my parentage, you know, whatever it is you want to do, the text line is for you, 314-436-7900. I try to respond to every text during the break, sometimes during the show, but, you know, you don't want to hear keyboard clicking during the show, so I tend to do that during the breaks. Also, it's a great time to mention, I get a lot of emails from listeners throughout the week, and I respond to every email. I welcome all comments, feedback, whatever. I just like having discussions. So my email address, I'm going to give you my law firm email address. It's B Young, because face it, it's good to be young, right? B-Y-O-U-N-G at harrisdowell.com, H-A-R-R-I-S as in Sam, D as in David, O-W-E-L-L.com, and I look forward to hearing from you. Now, as I mentioned, right before the break, we were talking about Title IX, and there are some legitimate legal issues with these changes. First of all, and because I know sometimes folks, particularly when you're listening to experts, they can dive into detailed explanation in such to make your eyes roll in the back of your head. I never do that on the air. I don't do that because the purpose and the point is to make it relatable and enjoyable, right? So I'm going to mention some legal doctrines, but I'm going to discuss it in terms of why this is a bad idea in terms of what the Biden administration did. Now, I did just get a text from someone. Why don't we start a transgender division? Well, that would be a great idea. But there's a problem with that. And I'm sure if you proposed it, then you would get the comparison of what Brown versus Board of Education was designed to overcome. And that is this idea of separate but equal. And the separate but equal doctrine was founded in this country in the early 1900s, and it was blatantly discriminatory because when blacks were going to school and they couldn't go to school with whites, it was separate but equal, but it was separate, yes, but it was never equal. And so even if you tried to do a transgender division today, even if it was completely equal, you would get the argument that it's not. And that's why, even though I think it would be a good idea in order to protect the sanctity of women's sports, the left would shoot that idea down as being not, it would be separate, but not equal. And so I can't see the left in this country adopting that idea. Great concept, though. Thanks for texting that in. But there are several legal issues, and again, more policy issues that are a problem with this change from the Biden administration. For example, under this, anyone from kindergarten all the way through college, women or men who are identify as women can use the restrooms of women. Now, is that a good idea? Do we want men and women in the same restroom that's locked in there, or they're in a closed room late at night? Do we really want that? I don't think so. I think we've made great strides in this country identifying that the sexual exploitation of women is a bad thing. And yet doesn't this, in fact, encourage the sexual exploitation of women? I think it does. But there's also a First Amendment issue. And you say, how can there be a First Amendment issue? Well, we've already seen this kind of a First Amendment issue discussed in the courts, and that is this. It hasn't gotten to the Supreme Court yet, but I think this is obviously where this is going. But under these changes to Title IX, if you're a teacher at Acme Grade School, at Acme Middle School, and there is a transgendered person who identifies as female but who has a birth gender of male, this federal law requires that teacher to use the correct pronoun of the individual that they identify as. So if today they identify as female, you have to call her her. If that biologically born male the next day identifies as a non-binary, then you have to refer to that person as they or them. If that person then re-self-identifies as a male, you have to call that person by the new pronoun, he or him. So it could change on a daily basis. But the problem with that on a legal issue, from a legal perspective, from a constitutional perspective, is this. I'll give you a great example. I'm a Christian. And so if I look at that and I say, God made you when you were born to be a man, and now the government is forcing me to call you a woman, in my mind, that's lying. And in the minds of many people in this country, that's lying. And so a refusal to follow those federal dictates, now you've got the federal government controlling not only what you say, but how you say it. And there's already been lawsuits on this in state courts where teachers have, and they've settled with big settlements. When they get fired, there's been big settlements on this by saying, you, the government, are forcing me to use specific words when I speak. And if I refuse to use the words that you require, you're going to fire me for doing that. Folks, that's a First Amendment. It's got First Amendment issues written all over it. That will be litigated, I promise you. And it also means, from a practical standpoint, that schools could lose federal funding if they don't implement these policies. Talk about your carrot and a stick. You're going to punish schools for refusing to control what their teachers say and think. Wow. And so when you put all that together, there's going to be a number of legal issues here. And we're already seeing it. Like I said, 10 states, courts have blocked the implementation of this new policy change. I look for at least 10 other states to do so, maybe 15. And at the end of the day, being in the federal court system, this is going to the Supreme Court probably next year. What are your thoughts on it? I'm going to talk about Leah Thomas and her Olympic dreams dashed here in just a moment. But what are your thoughts on this topic? 314-436-7900. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the last segment here in the 8 o'clock hour. Brad Young at your service, both literally and figuratively here on a Wednesday night. And before the break, we were talking about the Biden transgender rules. And it's interesting that just this week, Leah Thomas made the news. And again, if you remember Leah Thomas, I'm going to use the birth. I can't allow the federal government to dictate what I say or how I say it. He is the swimmer who created controversy a couple years ago. I believe it was in 2022 because he won at the NCAA championships. He beat out Riley Gaines, ironically, in those championships because he was competing as a woman. And he couldn't compete as a man, so he identifies as a woman, even though from a genitalia perspective, he is still a man. But he competes as a woman, and he's doing quite well competing against women. Well, he tried to compete and get the approval of the Court of Arbitration of Sport, and with the World Aquatics, in order to qualify for the Olympics. And he lost that battle this week. The Court of Arbitration, they dismissed Thomas's request for arbitration because he was denied the opportunity to compete in the World Aquatics Championships, which would have qualified him to compete as a woman in the feedback, whatever. I just like having discussions. So my email address, I'm going to give you my law firm email address. It's B Young, because face it, it's good to be young, right? BYUNG at harrisdowell.com. HARRIS as in Sam, D as in David, OWELL.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. Now, as I mentioned, right before the break, we were talking about Title IX. And there are some legitimate legal issues with these changes. First of all, and I'm going to do, I'm going to make this as, because I know sometimes folks, particularly when you're listening to experts, they can dive into detailed explanation in such to make your eyes roll in the back of your head. I never do that on the air. I don't do that because the purpose and the point is to make it relatable and enjoyable, right? So I'm going to mention some legal doctrines, but I'm going to discuss it in terms of why this is a bad idea in terms of what the Biden administration did. Now, I did just get a text from someone. Why don't we start a transgender division? Well, that would be a great idea. But there's a problem with that. And I'm sure if you proposed it, then you would get the comparison of what Brown versus Board of Education was designed to overcome. And that is this idea of separate but equal. And the separate but equal doctrine was founded in this country in the early 1900s, and it was blatantly discriminatory because when blacks were going to school and they couldn't go to school with whites, it was separate but equal, but it was separate, yes, but it was never equal. And so even if you tried to do a transgender division today, even if it was completely equal, you would get the argument that it's not. And that's why, even though I think it would be a good idea in order to protect the sanctity of women's sports, the left would shoot that idea down as being not, it would be separate, but not equal. And so I can't see the left in this country adopting that idea. Great concept, though. Thanks for texting that in. But there are several legal issues, and again, more policy issues that are a problem with this change from the Biden administration. For example, under this, anyone from kindergarten all the way through college, women or men who are identify as women can use restrooms, can use the restrooms of women. Now, is that a good idea? Do we want men and women in the same restroom that's locked in there or they're in a closed room late at night? Do we really want that? I don't think so. I think we've made great strides in this country identifying that the sexual exploitation of women is a bad thing. And yet doesn't this, in fact, encourage the sexual exploitation of women? I think it does. But there's also a First Amendment issue. And you say, how can there be a First Amendment issue? Well, we've already seen this kind of a First Amendment issue discussed in the courts, and that is this. It hasn't gotten to the Supreme Court yet, but I think this is obviously where this is going. But under these changes to Title IX, if you're a teacher, if you're a teacher at Acme Grade School, at Acme Middle School, and there is a transgendered person who identifies as female but who has a birth gender of male, this federal law requires that teacher to use the correct pronoun of the individual that they identify as. So if today they identify as female, you have to call her her. If that biologically born male the next day identifies as a non-binary, then you have to refer to that person as they or them. If that person then re-self-identifies as a male, you have to call that person by the new pronoun, he or him. So it could change on a daily basis. But the problem with that on a legal issue, from a legal perspective, from a constitutional perspective, is this. I'll give you a great example. I'm a Christian. And so if I look at that and I say, God made you when you were born to be a man, and now the government is forcing me to call you a woman, in my mind, that's lying. And in the minds of many people in this country, that's lying. And so a refusal to follow those federal dictates, now you've got the federal government controlling not only what you say, but how you say it. And there's already been lawsuits on this. in state courts where teachers have, and they've settled with big settlements. When they get fired, there's been big settlements on this by saying, you, the government, are forcing me to use specific words when I speak. And if I refuse to use the words that you require, you're going to fire me for doing that. Folks, that's a First Amendment. It's got First Amendment issues written all over it. That will be litigated, I promise you. And it also means, from a practical standpoint, that schools could lose federal funding if they don't implement these policies. Talk about your carrot and a stick. You're going to punish schools for refusing to control what their teachers say and think. Wow. And so when you put all that together, there's going to be a number of legal issues here. And we're already seeing it. Like I said, 10 states, courts have blocked the implementation of this new policy change. I look for at least 10 other states to do so, maybe 15. And at the end of the day, being in the federal court system, this is going to the Supreme Court probably next year. What are your thoughts on it? I'm going to talk about Leah Thomas and her Olympic dreams dashed here in just a moment. But what are your thoughts on this topic? 314-436-7900. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the last segment here in the 8 o'clock hour. Brad Young at your service, both literally and figuratively here on a Wednesday night. And before the break, we were talking about the Biden transgender rules. And it's interesting that just this week, Leah Thomas made the news. And again, if you remember Leah Thomas, I'm going to use the birth. I can't allow the federal government to dictate what I say or how I say it. He is the swimmer who created controversy a couple years ago. I believe it was in 2022 because he won at the NCAA championships. He beat out Riley Gaines, ironically, in those championships because he was competing as a woman. And he couldn't compete as a man, so he identifies as a woman, even though from a genitalia perspective, he is still a man. But he competes as a woman, and he's doing quite well competing against women. Well, he tried to compete and get the approval of the, I think it's called the Court of Arbitration of Sport, and with the World Aquatics, in order to qualify for the Olympics. He lost that battle this week. The Court of Arbitration, they dismissed Thomas's request for arbitration because he was denied the opportunity to compete in the World Aquatics Championships, which would have qualified him to compete as a woman in the Paris Olympics. So they banned it. They dismissed his appeal and said he did not qualify. So then he asked the Switzerland-based Court of Arbitration to overturn the decision from the World Aquatics, and they again dismissed his appeal. But what's interesting is that Riley Gaines, the woman in women's athletics that Leah Thomas defeated, she commented on it. She hosts a podcast called Gaines for Girls, and she's also the director of the Riley Gaines Center at the Leadership Institute. Here's what she said about this ruling. She said, and I'm quoting, "This ruling is a small victory for girls and women everywhere. I think we will see more wins like this, both in the judicial courts and in the courts of public opinion, as time goes on. Although he would never qualify, Thomas can still try out for the men's U.S. Olympic team. I hope the NCAA now takes a similar decisive action by stripping Thomas of all awards, titles, and records he stole from deserving female athletes," unquote. And I thought about that in the context of my daughter who was rowing at KU. I went to lots of rowing events. And how would I have felt, and this was within the last 10 years, but not just in the last couple of years. So this was never an issue. In fact, we never even dreamed this would be an issue. And yet, how would I have felt if my daughter would have lost to, in rowing, a boat full of men? Because the men in every instance have better times than the women because men typically have a greater strength to weight ratio. So, and in a boat, imagine rowing. We've all seen rowing. We see it in the Olympics every 4 years. I'm not talking about a rowboat. I'm talking about a boat that's got eight people in it. And there's actually nine because you've got the coxswain who's in there, and then you've got the eight rowers. And if you put men in that boat, it's going to go through the water faster. Even though the men typically are heavier, they have greater strength or weight ratio. So they would win every time. And the same oftentimes is true with swimming as well. So Riley Gaines lost to Leah Thomas. And now Leah Thomas does not get to go to the Olympics. But as a father of three daughters, I don't have any boys. Even my dog in my house is female. So I'm really outnumbered. But I can understand why there needs to be that level of protection. And to me, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that the Biden administration doesn't even understand the purpose of Title IX, and they're really destroying it from the inside out. I mentioned that this past week was Father's Day. Hope you had a good Father's Day if you're a father. I did. I had a great Father's Day. But did you know that there is, it's not really called this, I'm making up the name, but a National Strategic Dad Jokes Reserve. You know about the National Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That's where oil is stored in salt mines in Texas. So if we have a national emergency, we have oil. Well, apparently there's the same thing with dad jokes. You know, one of my favorite dad jokes is, what do you call a hot pig? Bacon, of course. That's what you call a hot pig. That's your classic dad joke. It makes you cringe. But do we like them enough to spend $75 million in taxpayer money to create a government agency that collects dad jokes? $75 million. Now, they do other things. They don't just collect dad jokes. They offer a list of fun activities for fathers and kids to do together. They give public service announcements about the importance of being a good dad, and they give access to mental health resources. Do we need to be spending $75 million of our tax dollars to fund dad jokes and basically a public service announcement for dads to have fun with their kids? That to me is outrageous that the government agency would get that kind of funding. And if you pay taxes, which if you have an income, you're paying taxes, do you really want your tax dollars going to pay for jokes like, did you hear the one about the world's greatest watch thief? He stole all the time. Okay, well, again, you cringe at that, but do we need to be spending our tax dollars to pay for that? I don't think so. And I bet you don't think so either. Because if you are currently working, you work hard. You work very hard for the money that you earn. And the government takes their confiscatory share of that money. And we want that money that's taken out of our paychecks to go to protect our country, to pave our streets, to pay for police and fire. I don't think you want your tax dollars going to fund dad jokes. That's one of the biggest complaints I have about our federal government. And that is they're wasting your money because it doesn't cost them anything to earn it. All they do is take it from your paycheck with the threat of imprisonment if you refuse. Hey, we've got a lot more topics to go in the next hour. I hope you're having a great time. 314-436-7900, calls or texts. Would love to hear from you in the next hour here on At Your Service. Camo X. Segment here in the 8 o'clock hour. Brad Young at your service, both literally and figuratively, here on a Wednesday night. And before the break, we were talking about the Biden transgender rules. And it's interesting that just this week, Leah Thomas made the news. And again, if you remember Leah Thomas, I'm going to use the birth. I can't allow the federal government to dictate what I say or how I say it. He is the swimmer who created controversy a couple years ago. I believe it was in 2022, because he won at the NCAA championships. He beat out Riley Gaines, ironically, in those championships because he was competing as a woman. And he couldn't compete as a man, so he identifies as a woman, even though from a genitalia perspective, he is still a man. But he competes as a woman, and he's doing quite well competing against women. Well, he tried to compete and get the approval of the, I think it's called the Court of Arbitration of Sport, and with the World Aquatics, in order to qualify for the Olympics. And he lost that battle this week. The Court of Arbitration, they dismissed Thomas's request for arbitration because he was denied the opportunity to compete in the World Aquatics Championships, which would have qualified him to compete as a woman in the Paris Olympics. So they banned it. They dismissed his appeal and said he did not qualify. So then he asked the Switzerland-based Court of Arbitration to overturn the decision from the World Aquatics, and they again dismissed his appeal. But what's interesting is that Riley Gaines, the woman in women's athletics that Leah Thomas defeated, she commented on it. She hosts a podcast called Gaines for Girls, and she's also the director of the Riley Gaines Center at the Leadership Institute. Here's what she said about this ruling. She said, and I'm quoting, "This ruling is a small victory for girls and women everywhere. I think we will see more wins like this, both in the judicial courts and in the courts of public opinion, as time goes on. Although he would never qualify, Thomas can still try out for the men's U.S. Olympic team. I hope the NCAA now takes a similar decisive action by stripping Thomas of all awards, titles, and records he stole from deserving female athletes," unquote. And I thought about that in the context of my daughter who was rowing at KU. I went to lots of rowing events. And how would I have felt, and this was within the last 10 years, but not just in the last couple of years. So this was never an issue. In fact, we never even dreamed this would be an issue. And yet, how would I have felt if my daughter would have lost to, in rowing, a boat full of men? Because the men, in every instance, have better times than the women. Because men typically have a greater strength-to-weight ratio. So, and in a boat, imagine rowing. We've all seen rowing. We see it in the Olympics every 4 years. I'm not talking about a rowboat. I'm talking about a boat that's got eight people in it. And there's actually nine, because you've got the coxswain who's in there, and then you've got the eight rowers. And if you put men in that boat, it's going to go through the water faster. Even though the men typically are heavier, they have greater strength or weight ratio. So they would win every time. And the same oftentimes is true with swimming as well. So Riley Gaines lost to Leah Thomas. And now Leah Thomas does not get to go to the Olympics. But as a father of three daughters, I don't have any boys. Even my dog in my house is female, so I'm really outnumbered. But I can understand why there needs to be that level of protection. And to me, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that the Biden administration doesn't even understand the purpose of Title IX, and they're really destroying it from the inside out. I mentioned that this past week was Father's Day. Hope you had a good Father's Day if you're a father. I did. Had a great Father's Day. But did you know that there is, it's not really called this, I'm making up the name, but a National Strategic Dad Jokes Reserve. You know about the National Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That's where oil is stored in salt mines in Texas. So if we have a national emergency, we have oil. Well, apparently there's the same thing with dad jokes. You know, one of my favorite dad jokes is, what do you call a hot pig? Bacon, of course. That's what you call a hot pig. That's your classic dad joke. It makes you cringe. But do we like them enough to spend $75 million in taxpayer money to create a government agency that collects dad jokes. $75 million. Now, they do other things. They don't just collect dad jokes. They offer a list of fun activities for fathers and kids to do together. They give public service announcements about the importance of being a good dad, and they give access to mental health resources. But do we need to be spending $75 million of our tax dollars to fund dad jokes and basically a public service announcement for dads to have fun with their kids? That, to me, is outrageous that the government agency would get that kind of funding. And if you pay taxes, which if you have an income, you're paying taxes, do you really want your tax dollars going to pay for jokes like, did you hear the one about the world's greatest watch thief? He stole all the time. Okay, well, again, you cringe at that, but do we need to be spending our tax dollars to pay for that? I don't think so. And I bet you don't think so either. Because if you are currently working, you work hard. You work very hard for the money that you earn. And the government takes their confiscatory share of that money. And we want that money that's taken out of our paychecks to go to protect our country, to pave our streets, to pay for police and fire. I don't think you want your tax dollars going to fund dad jokes. That's one of the biggest complaints I have about our federal government, and that is they're wasting your money because it doesn't cost them anything to earn it. All they do is take it from your paycheck with the threat of imprisonment if you refuse. Hey, we've got a lot more topics to go in the next hour. I hope you're having a great time. 314-436-7900, calls or texts. Would love to hear from you in the next hour here on At Your Service. KMOX.